I don't think I've ever had more people make comments to me about how excited they are for the spring subsistence bird season than I have in the past several weeks. I would note that officially, the big, long name that goes with that season is the Alaska Subsistence Spring-Summer Migratory Bird Harvest. I've always found it humorous that the last word in that title is harvest. If the folks that put this together each year were to ever see my prowess with a shotgun, they'd have to add a new last word to that title. Opportunity. At any rate, a whole lot of people have expressed to me how excited they are for the season this year, which actually officially opened almost 2 weeks ago. I'm thinking there might be several possible reasons for why I've heard from so many this year. It could be that I have more bird hunting friends than I used to, so there is a larger pool of people to say something. As a very obvious support to that, I'd point to my coworker, biologist Doug Holt, who is new in the way that this will be his first season that he's been able to participate, and he's big into birds. Or maybe it's stronger on the minds of many considering that we had a real winter this year, so the contrast with spring approaching is more noticeable. Maybe it's that I've been around longer and people are just more comfortable talking to me. In mentioning that, I'd also add that my teenage daughters sometimes think I'm a bit of a churlish curmudgeon. Is that redundant? And look the part, even when I'm feeling all sunshine and happy, happy, joy, joy inside. Whatever the reason, I've had more people strike up conversations about spring birds this year than ever before, though I'll cop to the fact that I don't have any sort of a tally sheet to provide tangible proof of that. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Because I do not believe that those who have spoken with me about this topic are some sort of anomaly, I choose to believe there's probably a whole lot of other people geeked up about it as well. Indeed, I'm semi-geeked myself. I mean, it is an open hunting season. And I'd be more so if my shooting skills were any better than they are. As it is, it's still a fine opportunity to drink coffee by the shore, watch the sun come up, have a firearm I can discharge with a purpose, and watch all manner of migratory birds. With so many interested people, I thought the season would make a good topic for today. A portion of the information you'll hear today you can read for yourself, courtesy of the regulations booklet that goes with the season, or from the online version of that same booklet. One of the first things that comes to mind for me with this particular season is that old phrase about membership has its privileges. The reason I say that, in referring for the first time to the booklet, is that in order to participate in this hunt, you need to be a permanent resident of a village within an included harvest area. If you are, you are eligible to harvest migratory birds and eggs for subsistence purposes. There is a map to help you decide if you're in an eligible area. For those of us around here, I'll help you out with that. We're good to go. In fact, the excluded areas reads as follows, and it's all in red print, so it must be pretty important. Persons living in the Anchorage, Matanuska, Susitna Borough, the Central Interior Excluded Area, or the Kenai Peninsula Roaded Area are excluded from participating. So basically, if you're on a good chunk of the road system, you're not able to participate. I would also note that a permanent resident means that you've been here for 12 months or more, and you have the sorts of things to prove that, like an address or a driver's license. I mentioned that the season has been open for a bit. Officially, the season runs from April 2nd through August 31st of 2017, though there are variations on that from hunt area to hunt area, with closures during the beginning of summer. For the Bristol Bay region, it shakes out like this. Season runs from April 2nd through June 14th and July 16th through August 31st for the general season. It is also open from April 2nd through July 15th specifically for seabird egg gathering. Seabird egg gathering ends there, and the general season is closed from June 15th through July 15th, but reopens. That's for the subsistence season specifically. Migratory bird hunting kicks back to the normal statewide season that's open to everyone and is managed by both state and federal regulations. It's what we'd call the sport hunting season, and it comes with its own regulations and restrictions. That happens after August. Let me touch on some of the specific do's and don'ts. I think a lot of these will seem pretty much common sense, such as, it's a subsistence season, and as such, you may not sell, offer for sale, purchase, or offer to purchase migratory birds, their parts, or eggs. Related to that, you may take birds for human consumption only. Harvest and possession of birds must be done using non-wasteful taking. non-edible byproducts of birds taken for food may be used for other purposes, however taxidermy is not allowed. That one's actually come up a couple of times in my life, the taxidermy part. When I shot my first goose a number of years ago, a white-fronted goose, it was in pristine condition. And honestly, I'd like to have done a mount of it, in addition to harvesting all edible portions. Taxidermy is a hobby of mine, so I would have been doing the work myself. However, whereas I'm pretty competent with mammals and fish, my bird taxidermy skills are somewhere closer to my shotgun shooting skills, so perhaps it would have been a moot issue anyway. On another occasion, we had a teacher in Good News Bay who harvested a fairly uncommon species, a Eurasian widgeon, I believe, and it also was in pristine condition, with robust colors. He wanted to have a mount done to display at the school, but was turned down in his request. So for the subsistence season, taxidermy's out. One thing that can be a bit confusing is, what do you need in the way of paperwork, so to speak, to be able to hunt? Let me see if I can shed some clarity on that. You do not need a federal duck stamp to hunt the spring-summer season. A bit more on that in a moment. If you are 18 or older and plan to harvest waterfowl, you are required to have a state hunting license and a state duck stamp. Except for disabled veterans, those 60 years or older, and those that qualify for a low-income license. To say that again, no federal duck stamp, yes, a state hunting license, and yes, a state duck stamp. State duck stamps and hunting licenses are available from state license vendors, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game offices, and online. State duck stamps must be signed in ink across the face and must be carried at all times while hunting waterfowl, but are not required for hunting non-waterfowl migratory species. The fact that you don't need a federal duck stamp is still somewhat new. It used to be a required item as well. And I'm going to make a plug here. If you're able, I'd like to encourage you to get a federal duck stamp anyway, even though it's not required. Why? Because of what it does for conservation, that's why. A little bit of a backdrop on those federal duck stamps. The actual full name for the stamp is the Federal Migratory Bird Hunting and Conservation Stamp, but they're commonly referred to simply as duck stamps. They're pictorial stamps, always depicting outstanding artwork, and they're produced by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They are not a postage stamp and cannot be used for that. These stamps were originally created in 1934 as a federal license requirement for hunting migratory waterfowl. Over the years, they have become a critical tool for the fight for wetlands conservation. A full 98 cents out of every dollar generated by the sale of these stamps goes directly towards the purchase or lease of wetland habitat. 98 cents out of a dollar. That's tremendous bang for the buck for conservation. Back to the spring-summer season. There's also a list of prohibited harvest items, and again, a lot of these will seem common sense. No shotguns larger than 10 gauge, battery or machine guns, fish hooks, poisons, drugs, or explosives. Shooting from a sink box or low-floating device that conceals the hunter beneath the surface of the water is a no-no, as is hunting from any type of aircraft, hunting with the aid of a recorded bird call, or using live birds as decoys. You may not use any vehicle, aircraft, or boat to concentrate, drive, rally, or stir up migratory birds. No shooting across or from a road or highway. Specific to us around Bristol Bay, no airboats or jet skis for hunting or transporting hunters. The last no-no I would mention is a big one and also an old one. No lead shot for hunting migratory birds. That's been an across-the-board can't-do since 1991, which means waterfowl hunting has been a lead-free event, officially and legally, for well over two decades. Lead is toxic, and what you have to use to hunt migratory birds is non-toxic shot. Non-toxic shot is defined as any type of shot that does not cause sickness and death when ingested by migratory birds. Some common types of metals used in place of lead include steel, tungsten, and bismuth, as well as combinations and alloys of these. Each has its pros and cons, as well as its supporters and detractors. And it's not just that you can't use lead shot. You can't have it in your possession while you're hunting migratory birds. So if you have an assortment of shot shells for various species, including upland birds, rattling around in a container or pocket, take care to make sure that none of them are lead shot when you're hunting migratory birds. I know that sounds like a lot more don'ts than do's, but really we're very fortunate that this season is available to us. it has a lot more freedoms to it than any such season others have to contend with in other parts of the country. Again, membership has its privileges. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.